Welcome to the Mother Together podcast. This is Tiana.
This is Arielle, and we're two moms empowering other mamas not to settle in their motherhood, relationships, careers, and self-worth. All right, welcome to the first podcast episode of May. It's our one-year anniversary of Laptop and Littles this month, and we are so excited to celebrate. So we are going to be bringing the energy this month.
Yes, we are.
So we want to kick off this month, and just if you haven't been following along with us, if you know nothing about us, we're kind of about women empowerment. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to talk about what that means to each of us a little bit and what it means for Laptop and Littles. So if we throw around the word feminist or feminism, we just want to clarify, just because we're about educating everybody. So we don't want anyone to just like turn off because they hate that word or have certain perceptions of the word. We've had people say like, wow, like I can't believe you're a feminist. And it kind of took us back because the way we always view the word feminism is, you know, equality. So equality for women, equality for people of color, equality for gender. But obviously like our focus with Laptop and Littles is women and women empowerment. So we're not, you know, we don't have a bonfire right now going and throwing bras in, even though we were just talking about this before. And like, I would love to, because I hate bras. Like I don't wear them.
I love bras, guys. Yeah. I'm very flat-chested, so that bra makes me, guys. I need it.
But that's a perfect example of what we're about. Every woman has a choice to make those decisions for themselves, and basically society should not make those decisions for them.
Yes.
So I think that it'd be really cool for us to talk about like where our ideas of women empowerment came from and how they've developed.
So I guess I'll start. So Ariel, she's grown me into more of being a very woman empowerment person or woman, which is very funny because I was raised by a single mom and yeah. I was raised one of four girls. So all girls. And then like everyone in my family, it seems like they all have four girls apiece. And so you would think that this would have been like a norm for me. Which there was a lot of things that now that I've actually have been, you know, educated into what like women of power means, what feminist means, I was taught these things like you can provide for yourself and you don't need a man to support you. And you can do, my mom always said, you can do whatever you want, Tiana, which has made me have like, you know, grew up with this like big head. It's her fault. I blame it all on her. And so I guess I had that, but I never had, I guess, what it meant. And so now that I have daughters and I have witnessed like a lot of like sexual harassment, like in different places, or because I am pretty, men have always.
Yeah, you are a girl. You're hot.
Oh, whatever. I remember my eighth grade teacher actually telling me, Tiana, you're not going to be anything but a stripper.
No.
Dead serious. He told me that. And now that I look back as a grown woman and like realizing the things I could do, I'm just like, how could, for one, your teachers say that, but, you know, I'm in eighth grade, and because I love to dance, I was always dancing in the hallways, I was dancing in school dances, like, I was always breaking it down. Mm-hmm. Assumed that that was, like, all I was going to be able to do. It's really obviously offensive, and so it's just, like, even at an early age of eighth grade, the sexual harassment began, or people, like, disqualifying what I could do because I had a pretty face. Those things that, now that I have daughters, especially, and I have a son, I want to teach them how to treat a woman. And my daughters, that they, even if they're pretty, they are pretty. I shouldn't say that. Even if they are pretty. Because they're pretty, that they're, everything that they do is going to be disqualified.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to teach them that they can do whatever they want, whatever that is. If they want to be stay-at-home mamas, like, I support you. If they want to have careers in the corporate world, I support you. If they want to be entrepreneurs, yes, please, I support you. But they can do whatever they want to do, whatever role that is.
And setting that expectation that society should support that, whatever they want to be.
Yes.
And I think that's what we don't have at all. And especially like in that situation with your teacher, like I'm sure he said that out of some sort of frustration, like because you weren't behaving the way he wanted you to behave. And so he's like, how can I get this girl to shut up?
Yeah, I was always in the hallway for talking. But still, I mean, I could have been a lawyer as much as I talk. To me, like, they shouldn't have said that, but they wouldn't have said that to a boy. Like, they wouldn't have been like, oh, you're, you know, just because you're handsome, you're just going to be an IG model. Yeah. No one said that. And then there was like other incidents where just being sexually harassed, that's what's really stemmed it for me.
I mean, it's something that we're seeing a lot of now because we have, you know, you have men, like, DMing you and being like, oh, let's talk about business. And then the second that you're like, okay, great, like, let's have this conversation. Mm-hmm. Or you'll be like, oh, well, actually, my business partner handles that part of our company. Oh, actually, I just want to take you out on a date.
To me, that's so degrading, because that is another instance that they're taking advantage. If they're going to send me a DM, I don't answer my DMs if you're just trying to hit me up. If you're talking business, I'm going to respond back to you. Obviously, they've all caught on, because then they'll be like, oh, I need an assistant, or tell me more about your business. And then I'll start having this conversation with them. And then they're like, actually, I just want to take you on a date. Or that right there, to me, it just like makes me feel really degraded. They had no respect for me. Mm-hmm. If you want to take me on a date, just say like, I want to take you on a date. If you want to talk business, just say, I want to talk business. To me, they're trying to trick me, and I don't like...
This is not a general statement, by the way. We're not saying all men are like this.
No.
It's enough men for us to have this conversation.
Or we'll be, like, on lives, for example, and we're talking about our business, and then the men will just commenting, like, try to compliment.
Okay, first of all, it's unwanted. You know, it's unsolicited. We don't want that.
I mean, especially we're on a live, and we're talking about our business.
Our business, yeah.
It's not like we're just on there casually being like, come hang out with us. Like,
right. Mm-hmm. That's, like, degrading to you. And then it's also degrading to me, because it's like, are we seriously just objects that you can come on here and label one person and then completely just act like the other one doesn't exist?
I mean, that's, again, what I feel like not all men, but a lot of men see women as objects.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just clear, like, hop on my live, you will understand it.
And okay, before the men who are listening, or even women who have this mentality, say, well, Tiana, you wear crop tops, you are putting yourself out there as an object. I'm really concerned about that. Like, why does that make someone an object based on what they wear?
I mean, I don't wear crop tops for men. I wear them because I love it.
It builds your confidence.
To me, it's trendy. It's, like, in style. And I have fun with it. And it's because for so many years, I wasn't allowed to dress how I wanted. I was told what I could wear. I wasn't even allowed to wear leggings. So those things, like...
That blows my mind.
Yeah. So as simple as that. But again, that's because he had the mentality of that I was an object, and men were looking at me like I was an object. And if I dress a certain way, you know, he assumed that I was telling them I wanted them. After this year, I realized, I mean, even at the beginning of, like, after I left my husband, I still didn't dress how I wanted. It's taken until, I mean, probably the past couple months where I've found myself... and what I enjoy wearing, like, what kind of styles I like. I mean, you can just look back at my Instagram, go from last year to this year, and it's a huge difference. Like, I actually dress how I want to. Like, I actually genuinely, like, feel happy and feel good about myself. Like, I don't dress to get men to look. I always say a pretty face is enough to get a man to look. I don't need to do anything else.
I mean, you can literally go out in sweatpants and...
And that's, like, not saying me. I'm just saying all women.
Yeah.
All women. I mean, women... do not need to dress, quote unquote, people say, inappropriate.
Yeah.
To get looked at. They will get looked at by no matter what they're wearing. You're getting into the crop top phase, Ariel. How do you feel about it?
I do feel confident in them, but I do think about, like, what other people think, because it's like a double-edged sword, because it's like you can have the society-approved stomach and wear them, but then be judged because you're showing off that body. Or you can have, like, you know, what society calls a mom bod, and it's sticking out, like, with the crop top. And so then society judges you. They're like, well, we don't want to see that, or you're not in a position to wear something like that. And so I think that's, like, you get judgment no matter what. And I think for me, there's, like, a few things to it. I feel confident whenever I wear them, so I'm just like, whatever. And then also, for me, it is a statement. I'm kind of, like, walking around, like, okay, like, if you want to say something about it, let's have a conversation, because I'm kind of sick of this, you know? And that's another thing, too, like, with breastfeeding that I felt a lot. When I first started breastfeeding 8 years ago, like, I would get, like, kind of like our lives, like, I would get so sweaty whenever I'd be out in public and I'd breastfeed. And, I mean, I had the cape thing. I had, like, blank, like, all the things. I mean, I remember going into a bathroom once in a restaurant because I felt uncomfortable. No one really made me feel uncomfortable, but it was, like, the conversation around breastfeeding that I always felt. And then eventually, I felt inclined to breastfeed in public freely so I could support women who might be struggling with that. Because I was like, if I can have enough confidence to do this, then maybe I can instill confidence in them to do it the way they want to. Some women don't want to breastfeed in public, like, at all. And that's okay. Totally fine. Yeah. But some women desperately want to, but they feel so afraid to that they don't. And then that's stifling their motherhood. Crop tops and breastfeeding, I feel like, are crop tops,
because I get so many messages from girls saying, like, How do you wear crop tops without the judgment? You're going to be judged no matter what.
Yeah.
You could have a sweatpants, sweatshirt on, and somebody is going to judge you. We've all judged someone before.
Yeah.
And we've all been judged before. Now that I have self-awareness, I realize I used to judge people because I wanted to dress that way. I would judge them because I felt, well, I wasn't allowed to. And then I had been like instilled that like dressing that way is like inappropriate and like you shouldn't dress that way. But even though like I wanted to dress like that, like I found that cute. I found that trendy. And so to me, I was judging those people because I wanted that so badly. Mm-hmm. And if you actually look up the definition of what when a person judging, what that means, that's exactly, they're unhappy with something about themselves or you have what they want. So if you have success in your business and someone's judging you, they want that success or they want that ability to step out of their comfort zone and start a business or go after that career they want or dress that way or no matter what it is, that's the reason why they're judging. It's not about you. It's about them.
Yeah.
It's a them issue. It's not a you issue.
Judgment really has no fruit. There's no productivity in it.
No.
And we're not judges. Like that's not our role. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where a lot of people and a lot of Christians, especially, what is mind blowing to me is that someone will talk about what a high schooler is wearing to prom more than they will talk about how do we have conversations with girls going to prom about what everyone talks about typically happening on prom night, you know, what that looks like and what that actually means.
I mean, if we're talking about sex, I think that just in general, what sex actually means, like the soul tie, like it's condemned, like no sex before marriage, but why? I mean, as a teenager, you're like, why?
And then usually the answer is like, well, you'll get pregnant.
You'll get pregnant or that's a sin. So like, let's go deeper into it. Like, let's tell them about those things because like, I didn't learn about those things until I was 26 years old. That's, I mean, I already had 3 kids and was divorced by 26.
Let's prepare them for what it actually is so that, you know, if they do make that decision, they have the tools to be able to properly make the decision. And then two, they have the support system to be like, hey, I made this decision. I feel right about it, but I want to talk about it. Or I don't feel right about it and I need to talk about
it. And they understand what they're actually doing. Not just the lack of education because people want to judge. Leave it at that till you know don't do that and go on.
Well, and also they want to control behavior. So they the more information they give you, they can't control as much. I mean, that happens a lot in just all sorts of faiths, not just Christianity.
Which, okay, this kind of brings me back to people who raise a boy and they raise a girl. And they say, well, boys will be boys. But a girl is no-no. Like, you can't do that. So right there,
people get so offensive about what are their norms, you know? Like misogyny, racism, all these things are basically born into us because we, out of the womb, it's what we experience, it's what we're taught. We don't see it as misogyny or racism or whatever. We just see it as normal. It's the normal behavior we've been around. And so we get super scared and defensive whenever someone starts to call and unravel that truth out for us. But if we would just go into all of this with a little more of like an open mind, you know, we might be open to things like women empowerment instead of thinking like, oh, well, women just want to rule the world. Well, yeah, actually, we kind of do because men have been ruling the world and there's a system set up for that. I think if people would go into the conversations a little more open-minded instead of not wanting to let go of their normals that they think are their truths.
Yeah.
I've always had this fire for injustice. So like when I see injustice happening to me or like other people, I can't, like, I can't sleep on it, and I wish that, like, I had more to show for that feeling, you know, but I think that's a big part of why, you know, Laptop and Littles is something that I feel really strongly about. So anyway, as I, you know, grew into being a woman, you know, becoming pregnant outside of marriage and who I was, like, surrounded by, there were not a lot of, like, voices telling me, like, everything's gonna be okay, or this is fine, like, or this is normal. Like, I definitely did not feel that at all. And I mean, my parents did a great job of like helping me and supporting me, but I was, you know, still in college and I went to a private university. You know, it just wasn't taken lightly. Like, you couldn't dance whenever I went there. Like, they had rules where you could not dance. So this was definitely like out of the norm. It didn't happen. It was probably less normal than like a high schooler getting pregnant and going to school.
Oh my gosh.
So I remember having to go to the dean and tell him that I was pregnant because I was not sure. Right. I was not sure if they would kick me out. And I was like, well, I'm literally, I have like 1 year left, and this is a very expensive university, so I would rather not have to drop out and still have to pay those bills. So I was like, I want to at least get this degree. And so I had a conversation with him, kindest man. Like, I cannot say enough, like, good things about him and how he made me feel. He didn't make me feel judged or anything. He helped me, like, find a solution right there. Honestly feel like the faculty handled it all really, really well. Mm-hmm. I emailed all of my, like, professors. This sounds crazy. Like, I was a college student, guys.
Yeah, this sounds, I'm trying to wrap my head around this.
Right, like, I'm, like, 20, what? Well, probably just 20. So, I mean, I'm an adult, you know. You had your babies. You were married, yeah. You know. Yeah. It's completely normal. But the thing is, it so wasn't there. And those students, they're just all in a bubble. And still, mm-hmm. a lot of them, not all of them, but, like, a lot of them were still children. And I was treated that way. Like, I was treated like I was being, I don't know, I felt shunned. Like I was, yeah, I felt like I was at, like, you know, middle school again or something. And, I mean, I remember people that I talked to before, like, throughout my college career, I remember being pregnant and, like, grabbing lunch or something and them literally looking away. Like, it was so painfully obvious.
That's
like a movie. Yeah, it's weird, right? Like, it's really weird. And so I just had this in my head that, like, I'm already making bad decisions, but I made the decision that I was finishing college. I felt like I was doing all the right things that I could do, but everything about, like, where I was surrounded by did not empower those decisions. It just made me feel like, well, we'll see what happens, but you've kind of already screwed it up, you know, kind mm-hmm. of thing. And I've heard Christians say that to people, women especially, who make a bad decision and say, well, God's not going to bless that because you made that in, like, out of sin. Mm-hmm. But then a man will turn around and do the same exact thing and no one ever says that to them.
No.
And that's, I think,
which right there, I think that if you've ever said that or if someone's ever said that to you, you have to realize that we're all sinners. Mm-hmm. We have to realize, like, why are we always judging and throwing stones mm-hmm. at other people? That's, again, where self-reflection, self-awareness comes in, because mm-hmm. I was there. Like, I did that to people. Mm-hmm. It's still, I'm like, a work in progress, but I have to check myself. Like, yeah. Why do I feel that way? Why mm-hmm. does that make me feel uncomfortable?
Yeah.
And it's all out of jealousy of something I want. You know, for example, like, seeing someone get married. Mm-hmm. Why am I feeling negative thoughts about that? It's mm-hmm. because I'm jealous because I want to get married.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think my whole, like, empowerment mindset came just from that experience and felt like I needed to educate myself. I'm like, okay, how are women actually not equal? There's a quote, if you're not angry, then you're not listening. And I think that it's important that if you hear something like that, instead of just thinking, well, it's not true for me, so I don't really care, you need to research it mm-hmm. and see how true is it. You know, if it's not true for you, it might be true for, like, your neighbor or your sister, or maybe it is true for you. You just don't know. Mm-hmm. And then let that truth resonate. Yes. Let's have conversations about it. And let's do something, like, start a business mm-hmm. where you, you know, empower women to be able to make decisions. This is just our part of empowering women to be able to make a decision.
And have another options. Yes.
Yeah. But, like, a part of not having empowerment as women, and especially as moms, is not having options. The mm-hmm. fact that women, so many women who do not want to do this and do not have, like, any desire to sell things, are roped into MLMs and mm-hmm. network marketing. I don't have any problem with that type of
They're great for some women, like, some women right. and men, and they prosper. Thrive. Yeah. Yes, they thrive with it.
But a lot of women don't. I've done it.
You've done it. Yeah.
And it makes you feel like a huge failure. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, we really preach that, like, this is not for everyone. Everyone's journey just looks different.
Yes.
And I think that's what, like, we always want to communicate, is that every woman, however they want their motherhood to look mm-hmm. and their career to look, that's okay.
Everyone's journey, even in our program, looks different. We have some ladies who work an hour a week. We have some who work full time. Mm-hmm. We have some who've replaced their income completely. And then we have some who do both still.
Yeah.
Our mission with Laptop and Littles is to let right. moms know that there's other options. Like, if you want to be at home with your children, you don't have to just do an MLM. Mm-hmm. If you want to, go get it, girl. If you don't, like, there's something else out yeah. there. Because the virtual assistant role, there's, like, hundreds of different things you could do as a virtual assistant. It's not just, you're going to do this, and that's it.
And that's, too, like, the thing that we always like to communicate, that if we're always posting about being a virtual assistant and being a virtual assistant, we're not, like, trying to get every single woman into no. our program. Not all of them are going to be fits. Not all of them are going to want that. And that's another reason why we're, like, taking extra steps to, like, not qualify because everyone's qualified, but like make sure that the women coming into our program are, this is what they want.
Yes.
And they're not looking for a scapegoat from where they are right now, mm-hmm. but that this is something that's going to carry to them to where they want to be happy. This is not something that we are like convincing them. We're just giving them the option if that's what they want.
And it starts with us. Like we have to change it. And then we have to teach our children that because they're going to be the leaders one day mm-hmm. and we have to teach them little. And if we teach them now, they're going to be able to make a change because it's not like me at 26 years mm-hmm. old, 27 years old, learning all these new things. Like, wow, like I didn't know this. Like, wow, I can actually do this. Like, wow, like I can make a change. Like I can, you know, like mm-hmm. educate other people on these things. Like I didn't know that. And like, it's so cool to like be able to teach our kids that now. Mm-hmm. So then they grow up like just, this is the norm to them. Like,
and if you, and not in like a brainwashing way, okay? Like no. I have conversations with Vaden and I won't even bring them up. But whenever, you know, the election was going on, he said, hey, do we have a female president? I said, no, it's our female vice president. And I said, but it is the first female vice president that's been elected. And I said, so that's really cool because there's never been one. And there's never been a female president. And he was like, why? Like, he did not understand that. Mm-hmm. He was like, why has there not been a woman president?
Or but I love that you just said that because that right there shows everybody that the beliefs that we have mm-hmm. are taught to us. Like, racist beliefs are taught when you're young. Right. Like, you're not born a racist. Mm-hmm. You're not born judgmental. Like, these things are taught to us.
Right. It's just the normal. And no one has a conversation. I think what's so cool is that Vaden already saw inadequacy mm-hmm. in that story without me having to point it out.
Yeah, I mean, in the same way, I don't, like, brainwash my children. I actually have never used the words women empowerment with them ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I always just tell my girls, like, you can be anything you mm-hmm. want. You can do anything you want. Like, you are so strong. You're so independent. Those are things that I want to instill in them, mm-hmm. that they can be independent. And, like, being independent doesn't mean that if they say they're 20 years old and they're like, I want to get married and be a stay-at-home mom. That's not...
They've independently made that decision.
Yes, they've made that decision. I'm not... Like, I just want them to know, like, you can have a career if you want to. Mm-hmm. Don't ever get us wrong if you, like, hear us preaching constantly about, mm-hmm. like, careers and women having careers. Because that's not for everybody. We want women to find their happy place and independently make that decision mm-hmm. for themselves. Like, not their husband forcing them into this role of being a stay-at-home mom and they're miserable.
Yeah.
We want them to know that, like, you can have a choice. Like, there's lots of options out there. You have to find what works for you, works mm-hmm. what works for your family, and just really find your happy place.
Yeah. And it's just an overcorrection of what has been done is what we're trying to do.
Yes.
And the thing is, like, we say that to both of our kids. You know, we say it to our girls and we say it to our boys. Yes. It's not something that's limited.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Mother Together podcast.
If you want to hang out with us in real life, join our Facebook group, Mother Together. Go to Facebook, search Mother Together in groups, click join, and make sure to answer those questions.
See you in the group.